It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi there, and welcome to a brand new episode of Popcorn Podcast with Lee and Tim, where we're bringing you Dev Patel's directorial debut, Monkey Man. I'm Timmy Fland, movie buff.
And I'm Lee Livingstone, entertainment journalist.
And we love to talk all things movies.
We do, and Monkey Man is inspired by the legend of Hanuman, an icon embodying strength and courage. It's an action thriller about one man's quest for vengeance as he infiltrates an underground ring of corruption and unleashes an explosive campaign to settle the score with the men and women who took everything from him.
Monkey Man is directed by Dev Patel from a screenplay by Patel, Paul Anguilla, and John Colley from a story by Dev Patel.
Monkey Man stars Dev Patel, Sharlto Copley, Peter Bash, Vipin Sharma, Sikander Kerr, Sabita Jullipala, Ashwini Kalsakar, Adithi Kalkunte, and Makarand Deshpande.
Now, look, ever since I saw the trailer for this one, I was hooked and super excited for it for a few reasons. I'm a huge fan of Dev Patel, all the way back from when he first started acting in Skins. I fucking love that show.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch Skins?
No, I didn't. There's a show that's kind of similar to it. In the UK. I think I was living in the UK at the time. Uh-huh. What year did that come out? Do you know?
It was before Slumdog Millionaire, which was 2008. So it would have been 6 or 7.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So I just moved over to the UK. Uh-huh. So I was very familiar with it. But I think I watched another show that was quite similar and I can't remember the name of it.
I guess you were living amongst Skins anyway. Yes, over in the UK. Well, maybe not quite.
Yeah, maybe not quite. I wasn't quite living the same lifestyle. Although I was in a share house, so it kind of
there you go.
Felt like the same vibe.
All the stories, I'm sure.
Oh my God. Yeah, at the time of recording this episode, the critical reception for Monkey Man has been absolutely incredible. Mm. Audiences have yet to see it, but I think it's going to be received so well.
Yeah, because like it kind of spins the script on what an action thriller drama should be, because what Dev Patel has brought here is something with some real substance and some story, bringing in some of his cultural heritage and putting that at the forefront. So there's quite a lot of complex but beautiful layers to this that just elevated above what already is like a kick-ass action movie. The stuff in this, I can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. It's an exciting film. Mm. That's what it comes down to. Backed by Jordan Peele's Monkey Paw Productions. Of course, you know, Monkey Paw Productions wanted to make Monkey Man.
It was written.
It seems fitting.
Yeah.
It won the headliner audience at South by Southwest Film Festival, where it debuted a whole month before its wider release date. So there's been a lot of groundswell for this film, a lot of excitement. Mm. And Monkey Paw Productions loves bringing these genre-bending and disruptive films to the screen. And look at Jordan Peele's subversive work. And this fits right in, I think.
It absolutely fits right in. And my understanding is when Monkey Paw became involved in this project, they in a way rescued it for audiences in this sense, because it was meant to be released on streaming. Is that right?
It was meant to be on Netflix. Yeah,
yeah, right. And can you imagine, obviously we've seen this film now, Fred, we're talking about it now, but you can't imagine watching it on your little screen at home. No. Like, it just begs to be put up on that big sound, big picture.
And that wasn't the dream that Dev Patel had for this film. But I mean, as a directorial debut, of course, you have lofty ambitions for it. But yeah, if it was going to go to Netflix, at least he sold it. But yeah, it's definitely better on the big screen.
Yeah, absolutely.
The action in it is described as John Wick-esque. Isn't it?
Mm.
There's even a tongue-in-cheek reference in the film, and he even forms a connection with a dog, which made me a bit nervous because of what happens to the John Wick dog.
Well, literally, that sets off the entire series of events in the franchise. It all started with a dog.
I was worried they were going to go down the same path, but they don't. Don't worry. But the action is really inspired by Bruce Lee films and Korean cinema. The film I've seen online has been called out as derivative, right? But all art and culture is always a conversation with what has come before it, isn't it? As long as it adds a new perspective and it isn't simply mimicking another film, which I don't think this does.
No, it beats to its own drum in a few ways. Yes, there are visual nods and, you know, appreciation of other films. Dev Patel is a fan of Chinese and Korean action cinema as a result of that. So he's been wanting to make something like this for some time. But I think his layers of religion and the classist struggle and some politics corruption thrown in there just gives it that extra edge that sets it aside from other films within this genre, I think enough to be appreciated in of its own right.
Yeah, and speaking of the socio-political things that are going on in the film, this is set in a city that's a fictional city, a fictional Indian city. So they're not setting it anywhere specific that exists. But they do allude to some real events and real tensions, state-sanctioned violence and things that go on in the country. Does linking it to that violence in the footage that was added into the film, was it enough to warrant its inclusion, to step into that and take it away from being fully fictional?
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting thing. I wonder whether the intention behind it was to, even though it's quite fantastical in a way, the stuff that happens and how people survive, like Dev Patel, the blows that he takes and things like that. Maybe it's grounding it in some sort of gritty realism, and because that's familial to us, it kind of gives it that bit of tension that you need as an audience to make it feel like, oh my gosh, this looks and feels kind of real.
But does it go deep enough? And on the other hand, does it need to go any deeper?
What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I don't know enough about the cultural history of that to, as a Westerner, to be able to say whether it added anything or not. I wanted to know a bit more, I think, about whether it was real, whether these wars were real and what it was saying.
I actually, even though I've called out all these other layers of subtext that I really enjoyed being there because it felt and presented differently, I wonder if I'm interpreting what you're saying in the same way, because I felt that it was trying to potentially balance a little too much.
Right.
And therefore the focus was taking you into, oh, there's some politics going on here and there's some religious stuff going on and we need to, what does that mean? And I don't think it came together as perfectly cohesive as the intention was. I found it really interesting and rich, but I don't think it quite landed every step of the way as a holistic story.
Because most of the film seemed like, I don't know how to describe this properly, but almost like a superhero film, but a more grounded in reality superhero film.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I mean, he doesn't have superpowers, so I'm not saying going down that road, but it just felt like a hero's story in the sense of those kind of fantastical legends, I guess, which is true because it's based, the character of the kid's journey follows that of the story of Hanuman, this deity who's struck down as a child, has everything taken from him. There's even this really heartbreaking moment where he's trying to save his mother.
My God.
And so it's a story of redemption and becoming a people's champion.
Yes. And also the layer of the mask that he wears as well has that sort of superhero subtext that the true identity of this, I guess, would you call him a vigilante or like a person of the people? He definitely becomes a vigilante in a way in his, you know, steadfast approach to kick it to the man, I guess, and but then get his revenge.
Most of the film is set out like that, and then they throw in these flavours of the cultural ups and downs and the tensions and things like that. I guess it does add a really pointed and interesting cultural perspective on the film. Like, it's really nice to have that in there and have that uniqueness, I guess. We don't see things like this on film.
No, and that's why it's really exciting for Dev Patel to take stories that he was told as a child around this Hanuman that his grandfather used to tell him, I believe, and he's flipped the script a bit where his character in the film, the stories are given to him through his mother. And I think that's really nice because what he's doing is he's using his platform as a filmmaker and his opportunity to tell a story that hasn't been told, but within the genre of the action film, which is such a fun playground to do something different in. So I think there's something really interesting for people of color that he is directly speaking to, going, here's a character who is struggling through shit. I see you, but let's also have some fun with it.
It's going to be really exciting for representation to be seeing that on screen. And speaking of the story and the history of that, the film opens with the telling of that story and the folklore of this Hindu monkey deity named Hanuman. And it's just such a great way to hook us into the legend and how it will connect to our main character as the film goes on, who, as I said, is only known as Kid.
Well, why is he Kid? Like, we just don't need that identity on him. Or is that meant to just highlight the fact that he is so outside the circles of society that he literally doesn't have a name?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Something I really loved about the story from a cultural aspect was when the film takes a bit of a breath and we encounter a group of Hijras that take Kid in and nurture his recovery and his training to prepare for, you know, round two.
Yeah, in the middle act. Yeah,
yeah, in the middle act
reprieve almost.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it juxtaposed in so many ways because, as I said, the film took a bit of a breath. He has to rebuild himself mentally and physically. But then there were also the really interesting layers of this culture who tend to identify as transgender and they remove themselves from society to create this sort of experience for each other. It's like this third gender within culture. And I found that really interesting. And that's why this film does stuff quite differently to what you might expect within people throwing punches, you know.
And that's another really beautiful example of the representation that's on screen.
Yeah.
This ostracized community of trans women, intersex, gender non-conforming warriors.
Yes.
Who absolutely kick ass.
So good.
And who build Kid up and they find their strength as well to fight back alongside him.
There's no talk of a prophecy or whatever, but I almost feel like their encounter was always meant to be, because they were meant to help each other, and it just manifests into an incredible third act, doesn't it?
Yeah. It was a real fight to get this film made, as you said. Production was underway before COVID, and then Patel said at South by Southwest actually that everything that could go wrong did. So he came up against some really big challenges in this film, which makes it all the more exciting and impressive that he's pulled this off. As we said, there was a distribution deal with Netflix, but he wanted this to be seen on the big screen. And then along came Jordan Peele, who saved it from the straight streaming pile through his deal with Universal. And now we have it. And just how he's included, as we said, the cultural elements and references in this film will probably go over most white Westerners' heads.
Sure.
But it adds such a beauty to the film. For example, that prayer that's repeated throughout the film was really, really lovely. And a nice breath from all the relentless, heart-pounding, bruising action that's going on.
Well, it's actually a gift that the film offers a breath for you, because the bookends of it are gritty and visceral and intense, and they are violent, but they are so impressive.
But what a challenge to direct yourself in this way. It's one thing to step in front of the camera and act out some dialogue, but to bring the intensity of the action sequences that we're seeing in this film and then step outside of that and critique it and then step back in and also run a set of, you know, hundreds of people probably.
Yes.
It's extremely impressive. Like, let's just take a moment. Round of applause for Dev Patel.
Anya, Dev Patel. But do you know what? Obviously, Jordan Peele, the story and Dev Patel's vision and tenacious sort of approach to this really spoke to him and impressed him. Yeah. And he's even said just about his ability to direct such, like, this movie's complicated.
It is.
It's very, very complex and layered from a story perspective, but also just the cohesion of the action scenes and that storyboarding process. My God, I can only imagine. But Jordan Peele has said, if I ever put in a chase sequence in a future film of mine, he's going to go and get advice off Dev Patel, because there's this really exhilarating tuk-tuk sort of chase through the streets of Yatana, where this film is fictitiously set in India. And it's amazing. And what a point of validation from a filmmaker as celebrated as Jordan Peele to say, you know what, I'm going to come to you for advice to put something on celluloid if I ever need to. That's awesome.
And Patel's vision is so interesting, and it offers something lacking in Hollywood action films at the moment. It's a fresh perspective on this age-old genre, and I personally welcome it.
Yeah. Well, it offers substance, which is, there's nothing wrong with watching an action film that is dumb and loud. Like, bring it on. Sometimes you just need that. Mm. But this really challenges you to pay attention, to think differently, and appreciate some layers of culture within the genre that we haven't seen before.
He's also taking us in this fictitious town or city, whatever you want to call it, the visceral poverty of the area. Like, it's an underbelly. We're in the underbelly of this town called Yatana, which can mean struggle or vengeance. Mm. There's a point where he falls into the water and you can just see the pollution of it. Oh, like, your stomach is turning just remembering it. You and I in the cinema were like, what?
We physically reacted because it came as such a shock. This film is so thrilling. He's running across the rooftops of the town, and then does he get shot or something? Something like happens that, and he falls and, oh my God, I almost don't want to take myself back there. But you're right, it's so gritty and real and the underbelly, like you said.
But I bring it up because he's so successful at immersing you in this world. You feel like you're there in the sights, the sounds, like you can almost smell it.
Yes. You're sweating with them.
Yes.
You can feel every punch. You can feel the blood ripple down your cheek, thinking that you were the one that was just smacked in the face.
I was on the edge of my seat during those fight scenes. Yeah. They're really tense and really gritty, and you're really pulling for him because he doesn't do so well.
But see, that's a really interesting part of his character. He is not a hero. He stumbles and fails and falls and gets the fucking shit kicked out of him over and over, but he never gives up.
I'd say that is the definition of a hero, though. When you say not a hero, I say not a traditional, like, shiny Marvel hero, I guess. Yeah. Although they fall down too. They come up against challenges. Yeah. But you know what I mean? It's not the polished hero that we're used to seeing.
No, absolutely not. Because one of the things that Kid does for his career, I guess, or his life to exist, is in an underground fight club, is to get paid to get the shit beaten out of him.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he is there to do. And that's so disheartening. But he can, even after that humiliation, just to make ends meet, he can still rise above and fight for what's right.
That visceral feeling also comes down to cinematographer Sharon Mir, who worked on Damien Chazelle's Whiplash, another film that was just beautifully shot.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
And he has this way of moving the camera that's frenetic and disorientating and just really pulls you in.
Yes. And there's actually quite an astonishing amount of close-ups where it doesn't pull away. Like, you are in the fight with them.
Yeah.
And so that's why you're on the edge of your seat and you need to take those moments of breath. And some of the work I really admired of them as a DOP was some of these action sequences are done in really long takes, which you know is my cup of tea.
Especially, like, those chase scenes.
Yes. It's like incredible.
One thing though, okay, these incredible fight scenes that are going on, like, I'm so grateful for them. They were really, really fun to watch. But everyone seemed to forget their guns.
Did you just want them to be over a bit faster?
But I just thought, what? Like,
oh, where's the fun in that, Lee?
I know.
Where's the fun in that? Although, to your point, actually, let's just talk about John Wick, because they use a lot of guns, but they've got bulletproof, like, suits and stuff, like tailored suits. Anyway, that's just ridiculous. But I guess they get away with shooting and still somehow kicking.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm glad we wouldn't have gotten these incredible fight scenes out of it. I'm definitely very happy. But there are a couple of moments where especially when he's fighting the big bad guy, the one that's, you know, the focus of his obsession.
Yeah.
He has a gun.
Yeah, he's a police officer.
He never pulls it out. Whatever.
Maybe it's a prop gun.
Yeah.
But you do, maybe sans guns, but there is a moment where this axe-wielding man who runs a brothel gets down and dirty with Kid, and that's pretty intense.
Yeah, it is pretty intense. Oh, Dev Patel, the action star we didn't know we needed, right? Move over, John Wick.
Yeah.
Kid begins the film, as we said, as an underdog. He's getting relentlessly pummeled in this underground fight scene, carrying all this childhood trauma from his mother's murder and a village raid. Mm. Like he's in a dark place. This is a dark film.
It's very, very dark. And what is quite nice about that, when we have these regular flashbacks to him as his child to piece the puzzle together as what actually happened to him. And there's one particular, it's come to me. It's so powerful in how it was directed and realized. And you think, my God, no wonder this man is so broken and that he won't stop at anything to avenge his mother and his people as well.
And that's another hallmark, I guess, of Monkey Paw Productions and Jordan Peele's influence is that the way things are teased out and it's unraveled really slowly. They only give you bits and pieces.
Good point.
In flashback mode.
So you think there's some influence there from Jordan Peele and how he might tell his stories. Yeah, makes sense.
I wonder if Jordan Peele gave him any sort of mentorship throughout this or just let him go for it.
Do you know what? I really feel Jordan Peele is one who would mentor an up-and-coming filmmaker to see them succeed. And he picks and chooses his projects and the majority of them are big hits. So I think that would be the intention.
And we want him to succeed, both the character and Dev Patel, don't we?
Yeah.
I was almost cheering in some parts of this film for the kid.
I was worried, though, because I was thinking the stuff that Dev Patel, it's his own fault what he puts himself through in this because it's his story and he directed it. And he's probably saying, punch me harder in the next take.
Yeah.
I was worried that I'm like, this is such a strong directorial debut in terms of how complex it is and the unique story layers that we've talked about. I thought, will he want to do this again? Because it looks like really hard work.
Yeah, well, I mean, you spoke to Dev Patel and you can see that video on our YouTube channel or the interview on all good podcast platforms. But when you spoke to him, he said he like broke his hand and he broke some stuff.
Yeah, and they had to redo some choreography to be one-handed fighting because he literally had a broken hand and it was blowing up like the size of, you know, an elephant. So I think he said that was right at the beginning of production as well, right? So, I mean, heck, he put his body on the line.
That's a great interview, by the way. Please go and check it out. Sharlto Copley is in this film, skeezy ringleader of the Fight Club. You know, I get a kick out of any time I see Sharlto Copley in films because he seems to just make a career out of, I don't know, just showing up and being
random.
Random. Yes, it is a bit random, isn't it? But I love him in everything I see. They're not always the best films. What was the first film that he was really in that really blew up?
It was District 9.
Yes, District 9. He was fantastic in that.
He's so good in that.
He's so good in everything, actually. But I don't know why. I find it really amusing whenever he pops up.
Well, because he's a funny, funny guy. He also has worked with Dev Patel on a film called Chappie a few years ago. So they do have a relationship, a connection as actors. Yes. So it was great to see him show up in, you know, such an important project that Dev wanted to tell. He was also really good in A-Team, which wasn't a great film.
No.
But he was.
But same in Beast. Like, I loved seeing him in Beast with Idris Elba.
Oh, shit. Yeah, sorry, I blanked for a minute.
Yes. I just love when he shows up in films, but they're always like bit parts. I just give him his own starring vehicle. I just really want to see him in more. He's so fun. Peter Bash is in this film as Alfonso, who's effectively a bit of comic relief, isn't he? He's a bit of a dodgy dude that works in the brothel.
Yeah.
Running errands.
He's the streetwise hustler, if you will. Yeah. And he brings that sort of quick wit comedy. What's his tuk-tuk called? He calls her Nikki, based on Nicki Minaj.
What was it?
Big ass and great headlights or something. Oh, I don't know. He makes some sort of, you know,
oh my God,
below the line comment about the tuk-tuk Nikki.
And then we get Alpha, played by Vipin Sharma, who we mentioned before, is the leader of this mystical third gender Hydra's beautiful grace and presence in this film. There's actually three Hydra actresses in this film as well. Pihan Abdul, Dayanku Ziana, and Reva Marcellin. I'm so sorry if I butchered those names. They're in their first ever film roles. And as we mentioned before, such wonderful representation.
Yes. And it's so beautifully realized because it's not called out. There's no hullabaloo over it. It's just these people exist and they're there mm-hmm. and they're nurturing someone in need. And you're introduced to these beautiful customs. Yes. And it's just a really lovely experience. And like we said, a breath in the film, although there's a very intense, that classic action film training, getting your strength back yes. moment where it incorporates some sort of chant yes. music in. Oh my God. It's intense.
It's like their version of the Rocky montage.
That's it. Yeah. Yep. 100%. So good.
Rana, played by Sukunda Kerr, pure evil, the villain in this film. The saying, "If you come at me, you best not miss," is
Ooh.
Perfect for this character.
Good yeah? line.
And it's so apt because I was terrified for Kid when he first comes up against Rana and it doesn't go as planned. And I was like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, you made him mad.
You made him mad. He is a formidable foe. And yeah. their hand-to-hand combat in this movie was really intense.
Yes.
And it reminded me, although tonally so different, but hear me out.
I know what you're going to say.
Henry Cavill.
Mission Impossible.
Yes, and Tom Cruise fight in the bathroom. I yes. thought this is cut from the same cloth. But yeah. And that is one of the greatest hand-to-hand combat action scenes in yes. cinema
yep.
in that Mission Impossible film. So to compare it to that just should give you some indication of what you're in for from an yes. action perspective in this film.
High level.
Yeah.
Makarand Deshpande plays Guru Baba Shakti, who's this absolute sociopath
yeah.
who hides his quest for power behind spiritual goodness and wisdom.
You know what? That stuff just really gets me.
Grinds your gears.
It really grinds my gears. So that was really powerful in terms of the manifestation of that, the unraveling of yeah. who they were and just how corrupt it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, they feed off the vulnerable and there's just nothing more deplorable mm. than that. So go away.
Go away.
Go away.
Do you think we needed to see more of that character to yes. fully understand the cultural impact and then yeah. and the depth of what this film was trying to say yeah. about the class stuff?
100%. I think that's what we were talking about earlier, where there were just some things that we needed more fleshing out to give it yeah. some more context and impact. It was there, just maybe didn't land as successfully as intended, but there was more to tell there, I feel.
A couple of other characters that fall into that category, I think, is the mysterious Sita, who is an escort played by Sabita yes. Julipala.
Mm.
Well, I mean, she gives Kid something else outside of himself to fight for, but otherwise very underutilized,
mm.
almost like a romantic vibe, but not quite. Again, they didn't really go there with her character.
They didn't go there, no. I wonder whether they needed to or to maybe give her some other purpose as well, because then yeah. it felt unfinished or undone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and she's someone who felt a kinship with the kid because mm. they came from sort of the same background, but they didn't flesh that out enough to really no. feel it, I think.
You got enough that they understood each other, but yes. very surface level.
And then Queenie as well, Ashwini Kalsakar, an interesting character. She's the owner of the brothel.
Mm.
I wanted to know more about her. She doesn't really add much to the story.
She adds some color early on yeah. and that was fun, but that was a character that fell off to the wayside. I thought they were building up to something yes. more there. She was just, she set some context in the world, but then the story moved on from her and I thought, oh, bring her back in some way. Mm. I felt like there was a gap there.
Almost like they were afraid to go there because she was a woman, maybe.
Perhaps, yeah.
Like, we don't want to labor too much on the downfall of a woman, I guess. But she was pretty deplorable.
But I quite liked her character at the same time. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. I think yeah. I just really liked her performance.
But I wanted to see her go down too because she was so good at her performance.
Yeah, 100%. Maybe like a cigarette to the eye or something. Oh, sorry. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you really got into this film. That, I mean, that wouldn't have been out of place, I don't think.
No. It's missing, in fact.
Do you know what? This film is not what I thought it was going to be.
Same.
I thought we were heading down like a horror route.
Well, yes, when you think of that image, it ends the first trailer and it's used in a lot of the marketing where Kid is standing within a red doorway.
Yes.
Yeah, so it does give off horror film vibes.
I think they did such a good job with this film.
I just cannot wait to see what Dev Patel wants to do next.
Yes, and it doesn't have to be the same thing.
No.
To be honest, like, I'd love to see him in another action film, but I'm just really invested in his creative journey.
Yes.
As a director.
And all the research that you and I have done, I think we can agree, everyone is speaking his praises as a collaborator,
yeah,
and his dedication to the craft too. So there's that like drive behind that I just want to see manifested in more stories.
On that note, let's wrap up our review of Monkey Man.
Let's do it, my friend.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Monkey Man is a really exciting foray into directing for Dev Patel and proves his ability to deliver an exciting, powerful, and intense experience. However, maybe in the cohesion of the writing or compilation of the film, some exercise in restraint would have made this one really, really shine. I'm going to rate Monkey Man 4 popcorn kernels.
Monkey Man blends stylized violence, gripping action, and socio-political commentary in equal measure to create one hell of a directorial feature debut for Dev Patel. It's gritty, it's messy, it's heart-pounding, and it's moving, and it's an enjoyable thrill ride and makes me excited to see what Patel does behind the camera next. For the ones who write it off as simply derivative, Patel is offering something more to the genre as a fan and a talented creative. His vision is interesting, fresh, and unique. Sit up and take notice and give us more. I'm giving it 4 popcorn kernels out of 5 too.
Love that, my friend. Well, Monkey Man is in Australian cinemas from April 4.
We definitely recommend that you check it out.
We sure do. As always, friends, thank you so much for joining us.
We'll catch you next time. Come and join in the conversation. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at Popcorn Podcast.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.